You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, June 28th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Man Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Happy Wednesday to you all. And you're sitting here talking about Bilal Powell's ADP, where I am sitting here across from Madison Square Garden, because Corey is once again a Knicks fan.
Back at it. Back at it. As soon as they give the announcement, you know what I'm saying, the New York Knicks to go back to being my main NBA team, and obviously they've always remained my Eastern Conference team. I am still, my Western Conference team is still the Golden State Warriors. Boy. Still got to see what happens in this situation.
Still playing it safe and bandwagon hopping.
Listen, Greg, start with them, right? Because I got some stories to tell you about how great of a morning I had. And we'll start with them, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to take us to break.
I'll tell you what, I walked to work. I just had a pep in my step today after this Phil Jackson news. I woke up to this morning and read my Twitter, and then I walked in here, and one of our producers downstairs goes, "Do you feel optimistic about the Knicks?" I go, "Are you out of your damn mind? Like, what is wrong? What is wrong with you? James Dolan still runs this team." So I had a pep in my step, but I'm not exactly feeling optimistic. Scotty, good morning to you, my friend.
Yes, we did cover it earlier in the hour with Corey, so that's why we were talking ADP. But it's optimistic, and it's kind of good to see him back from the left coast where he never belonged.
Okay. Matty Ma, how are you?
Doing good. I'm glad that Corey is back with the Knicks family.
For now.
I'm waiting, anxiously awaiting the press conference.
Yeah.
What's the weather today, Matt?
It's beautiful out there right now.
It's a beautiful morning.
Absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful morning. I saw like on the text, right, that I had, I got the text saying, the alert saying that, that Phil, you know what I'm saying, was getting ready to part ways with the Knicks. Then it was a beautiful morning in Harlem. Now, obviously, this morning, obviously, we had a train derailment in my neighborhood yesterday. So news was out there, whatever. And the news lady that was interviewing people at the train station was very attractive, young lady. So I had to follow her on Twitter. I'm about to hop in her DM right quick.
You're stalking her?
See what's popping with her. Call it what you want, Scott. I'm a finisher. I don't know about you. I don't stand back and wait for the game to come to me. I bring the action right to them. I bring the action right to your inbox. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm going to bring the action to her inbox.
I
had that good trap music in the headphones this morning. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready to go today. I feel like selling some dope right now.
Yeah. I think you need a cold shower, actually.
Nah, don't worry about what I need, Scott.
Yeah,
Worry about your rankings. Worry about your rankings,
don't
Scott.
Don't worry about
what I need. Worry about your rankings. You know what I'm saying?
Feeling all,
cause you,
feeling
you
all good because you're no longer a golden fake warrior
you
today.
You sitting up here talking trash. You know what I'm saying? Worry about your rankings. Don't worry about me, Scott. I'm getting sick of this, Scott.
You're going to get slapped with a restraining order, and then you're going to be real sick.
I'm going to help you get your fantasy football acumen back this season.
I don't need nothing from you.
There you go, Greg. Take us to break, please,
losing record against me.
Marika back. We'll talk more about Phil Jackson. We'll talk more about some fantasy football here next 2 hours. Roto Experts in the Morning. We're just kicking it off here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Hearing
Corey saying goodbye to the Golden State.
No, I'm saying goodbye to that old kook Phil Jackson. Get him out of here.
We're out.
Let's make the Knicks great again.
Oh man, you know what I want?
I'm for that.
You know what I want? Not Donald Trump running the Knicks.
No.
I want the Knicks great again.
Melo.
You know what I want?
Loser.
Fake shooter.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it'll be like Phil Jackson. He won't hold press conferences either. Don't
no,
worry.
Exactly.
I want to trust the process. That's what I want to do. I want Sam Hinkie. Let's trust the process, baby.
You know what?
Let's trust it.
bring back Isaiah.
Jesus Christ.
Bring back Isaiah.
What is wrong with you?
The bring Knicks back Isaiah.
We want to go from awful to bad.
Yeah, bring back Isaiah.
The Knicks until Dolan is gone.
Go outside the organization.
That's true. That's true too, Matt
Fresh
Madika.
Start.
Well, that's not true. He was the same with the Rangers. They got good.
I think he got lucky with some moves by that, you know. Hockey and basketball are just different animals. Like basketball, you need to have a couple of star players now. I mean, look at the landscape. And nobody wants to come to New York right now, which is crazy to say.
Crazy.
Like LeBron James should be saying, I want to go to New York, win a championship there, bring the glory back to the Knicks. He's looking to go to L.A. He wants to be a Laker. He wants to be with the Bulls.
So, all right, so Pat, so here we go right here. First of all, let's you know, the celebration obviously is good to get that idiot Phil Jackson out of town. But here's the thing about it still. 6 days ago in the NBA draft, the Knicks drafted a player that was perfect for the triangle offense. 6 days later, Phil Jackson is gone. So it's still disarray in the air at Madison Square Garden. Mind you, the Knicks left two very good players on the board to take this kid from France, you know what I'm saying? That's
French
a perfect
Frank?
Fit for the J of French Frank. That's a perfect fit for French the triangle. Frank. And then six days later, the guy that's going to implement the triangle is going to be, you know, ran out of town. Thank God for that. And then we got to see what the deal with Hornacek is. So I'm cool. Whatever they want to do, just get it fixed. The baby steps in fixing the New York Knickerbocker. So hopefully it can happen right now. I feel pretty optimistic this morning. I got a football in my hand. It's say Jets on it. J-E-T-S.
Suck,
Jets.
Suck,
Jets.
Suck.
Jets. I'm not a fan of that team, though, for everybody on YouTube to think that I was a Jet fan because I'm holding this ball right here. So you think I'm a Jet fan? I just like to have a football in my hand, and I'm not going to touch that New York Giant one
because
I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, so get it right. And I said Bashard Perriman's a bum. He is a bum. Don't at me.
What, the Raven fans were getting at you on Twitter?
On YouTube. Commenting YouTube. On our wonderful videos. If you haven't subscribed to FNSTY on YouTube, FNTY.
They were getting on you for your
FNTSY on YouTube.
They were getting
make sure you
on
get
your
that done.
Bashard Perriman comments?
Yeah, they was like that. He was like, how can you call Bashard Perriman a bum? I can look at his damn numbers. That's how I can call him a bum. I got eyes.
I'll say two things about that. Number one, I think, look, Perriman's been hurt the first 2 years. I think we have to wait and see what's going
to
happen.
Wait
this
to see
year.
Nothing, Scott. It's over.
I think we can wait. It's not over after 2 years. The guy's too young. All right. I will say this though, Corey. It takes me back to my ESPN days. This has been happening for years. Hey. You know what happens when you do these.
I saw something caught my eye out the window,
when
Scott.
You focus. Round. You're going to get another restraining order. Okay. Now listen. Now
it's not a restraining order.
We do these videos. And you get a lot of funny comments on it, but you got to realize they're all from the fans of the teams. Like, if you do it about, like, Doug Martin and you talk him down, Buccaneer fans are going to get on there. I remember when I used to do the first time I experienced it, I was doing a live chat at ESPN, right? And I started talking about how Joey Harrington was a bum.
Yeah.
And we always knew that Joey Harrington was a bum and was going to be a bum. I had hordes of Lion fans.
Hordes of
calm down. Take a cold shower, right? I had hordes of Lion fans like ripping me, you know, like I was going to be wrong about Harrington. I didn't know what I was talking about, how I could be an expert. It's the fans of these teams that are attacking you.
Okay, well, let them attack me, but I got something for them. I'm telling you again, don't at me on Bashard Perriman.
Scott, you just mentioned something very interesting to me. You said it's too early to give up Rashad Perriman. He's too young.
Yeah.
Do you know how old he will be when the season begins?
70.
What, like 24?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. He'll be 24 years old.
Yeah.
He will also be 24 years old when the season begins.
Who's that?
Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah.
That's got, one's got nothing to do with the other for
me,
though.
You don't like one of them.
What I'm talking about with Bashard Perriman is, I'm not saying draft Bashard Perriman for your fantasy team. Let me put it in context
Please.
For you,
Fair
okay?
enough, I'm misunderstanding.
What I was saying yesterday is I worry about with Mike Wallace that Bashard Perriman is going to play enough to cut into his deep touches. I didn't say draft him. I was saying that is a worry for me with Mike Wallace. I'm not worried about Isaiah Crowell's age. That's not a consideration for me. I'm worried about the situation.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Now I understand where you're coming from. Well,
it had nothing to do with the age.
I think it's an improved situation, though, for Isaiah Crowell. I understand the quarterback situation. That's the one thing that is concerning here, but
that's where it lies for me.
I think the Browns are, from the front office with the head coach, this is a team that's making strides. They drafted quite a few very athletic, talented players. So I'm still going to ride the theme that the Browns will be better than people think.
I think I do agree as a football organization, they're moving in the right direction. But from a fantasy perspective, that quarterback situation scares the crap out of me.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
Now, and again, I do want to clarify this with you, Scotty. I understand that that scares the crap out of you, but where are you, sir, then, with like DeAndre Hopkins? Right, that quarterback situation scares the crap out of me, too.
But you like Lamar Miller, though.
I like Lamar Miller.
Excuse me. Do not put words in my mouth to what I say. The last hour, you sat next to me, and I said I didn't like Lamar Miller.
Oh, okay.
So don't be telling lies.
Lower your voice.
No. You are not going to tell lies with my name around it.
I'm not the one.
I'm going to knock that football right out of this. You are the one.
I'm not the one.
No, you are the one. Do not tell lies with my name attached to it.
Lower your voice.
I'm going to raise it. Do not tell lies with my name attached to it, Corey Parson.
Chill out. All right, guys, you're on a radio show. Talk to the microphone at least.
What you want to do?
Talk to the microphone. What you want to do?
You better sit your old ass down.
You got gray in your beard, all right?
Yeah. And sexy, too.
Yeah. Not when you get restraining orders and following hosts, you know?
I'm not going to fight the gray. I'm not going. Don't worry about me roughing them up, Greg.
Yeah, you don't have to because you ain't doing nothing. You're a lot of hot air.
I'm looking at Greg for the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's right. You better not tell any lies with his name around it either. Now, I didn't say. Well, what was the original point? I forgot. You're saying I don't like Lamar Miller. That's a total friggin' lie. Back to DeAndre Hopkins. I like Deshaun Watson.
I was just asking you.
I like Deshaun Watson.
You like Deshaun Watson.
I think Tom said with Hopkins is a different thing, although Matt always makes a good point about volume. I don't like him as much as I did 2 years ago because I don't know if the volume is going to be there. But I feel like the quarterbacks can get him better than Brock Osweiler certainly did. It's obvious.
I'll just point to Hopkins, that 2015 season where he was great. Those first 8 games, he targeted 120 times. He's never come close to that 8 games. However you want to break it down, the following 8 games, break it in half last year, the 8 games, it's more like, oh, it's just still good. It's more like 80 to 75, 70. So, I mean, 150 targets still works out to be very good. But, you know, when you're getting close to 200 targets, that's a different animal.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You're 100% correct on that. My thing with Hopkins is the pound-for-pound talent. That's what I like about him the most.
Yeah, I don't argue that point. And he's somebody I keep wanting to draft, but I find myself going in a different route, either taking that running back and not taking him. Maybe that's the mistake here. But I did get my first share of T.Y. Hilton last night. I was a little hesitant because of this Andrew Luck not throwing the ball yet and stuff like that. But hopefully everything's good because, I mean,
it's not going to work if Scott Tolzien's the quarterback.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. This draft champions will go up
in flames. Yeah.
Scott Tolzien.
Yeah.
Scott told you
he is the backup quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. That is true. On the show today, yesterday we talked about a lot of these wide receivers in opposite types of leagues, right? So today on the program, we're going to deal with running backs.
Let's do it.
We're going to deal with running backs. We're going to evaluate the PPR running backs in a standard league. Where do we draft your boy Danny Woodhead? Where do we draft Theo Riddick? In a standard league, I'm very interested and excited to talk about this with you guys, the PPR running backs when PPR doesn't matter. We're also talking about the non-PPR running backs in a PPR league, right? Like Eddie Lacy you mentioned a moment ago, Scotty. LeGarrette Blount. Those types of players. Where are they going in the PPR league? How are they drafted differently?
Would you consider Ezekiel Elliott one of those players?
No.
Okay, good.
I would not consider
Ezekiel Elliott.
Especially
with
Lance Dunbar in Los Angeles.
Ezekiel Elliott is like Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson when they were in their prime. The running numbers are so good, they can overcome any perceived weaknesses about catching passes.
That's the smartest thing you said all morning.
When we come back, we'll begin.
Smartest thing I'll say is goodbye, Corey.
Talking about Theo Riddick, Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead, and the like. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're just moving along here on Wednesday. Stick around. More program right after this.
Probably not.
They
We are back here on the Road to Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's time to talk about the non-PPR leagues. We started this yesterday, and I want to get into it now. And I want to start with you, Modica, because you keep drafting Danny Woodhead everywhere. And you only play in PPR leagues, I understand that. And you never claim to do anything different, or really know anything different. PPR is what you do. But if you were not playing PPR, and you're playing standard, what does that do to Danny Woodhead?
I think it's got to drop him close to probably like 10 spots. I mean, he's got to be, for me, he's in the high teens. He's a top 20 back in PPR. So I'd have to say close to number 30 overall, you know, maybe in the high 20s. I'm trying to look here and see, like, yeah, I think, you know, he's going to take a hit because I love those receptions. Those receptions should be plentiful. I'm expecting a lot. So once we take that out of the mix, I think he does take a big hit.
Corey, I know you have been able to, you know, you don't like standard. You played in standard, of course. Now, Danny Woodhead, what happens to him?
I played in one standard last year. I won the chip. What happens to Danny Woodhead, he drops considerably when you talk about it because obviously the pass catching is a big part of what he does. But not only is it the pass catching, you got to look at roster construction. If you understand that you're going to go running back heavy more than likely earlier in the draft, so you're going to have the guys like the LeGarrette Blunts. You're going to have the Carlos Hyde. You're going to have the Marshawn Lynches and the Isaiah Crowells and the Jay Ajayis. Those are the running backs you're going to use to make out your roster. These fringe running backs, they're going to get pushed down the board now because the round where you would normally be drafting them, you would more than likely be drafting wide receivers. You know, they have that high touchdown upside. So you take, I would say, you could see a 3-4 round drop for a player like Danny Woodhead. What about 2-4 round drop for a player like Danny Woodhead in the standard league? I don't want to say he's a bench player in the standard league, Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, I'd probably go with a guy like CJ Anderson with that. I don't like CJ Anderson.
Not him.
But I'm saying, yeah. You know, in a standard, I'm going to take the gamble that line's much improved and, you know, that he's going to get the first crack at being the starting back.
Scotty, same question goes to you, of course. Danny Woodhead, in that standard league, how much does his value fall?
Yeah, I agree with Corey, bench player, because not only don't think he's going to get the touchdowns once Dixon is there, maybe they will mix him in, you know, before he comes back, but you still got Terrence West there. Blah, but, you know, maybe they use him at the goal line. No touchdowns, injuries an issue, probably not going to have any shares of him. Bench player.
Does the same hold true, sir, for Theo Riddick then?
You know what? Man, I like Theo Riddick so much in PPR, but in a non-PPR, he doesn't score. Here and there, you get to see him, he gets the ball on draw plays. You know, there are durability issues for him, so Theo's probably a bench player. Like, when I do my weekly lineup rankings in the exclusive Edge package, because it's not just a draft package, it's an in-season package.
Ding.
And a free radio checkout for special discount. You know, these PPR guys, like, I have to, you know, in a standard, I have to drop them every week like a good 15 spots, you know, from where they would be in a PPR on a weekly basis.
You see, the thing with Riddick is, I think I like Riddick more than I like Woodhead in a standard because he catches so many passes that you're going to get that yardage bump too. You feel what I'm saying?
I'm with you. Just like I'd rather not have either one of them as a starter.
I understand that, but I think I actually think in the standard league, Riddick's better.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, but okay. I think they're both bench players.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Scotty, how much does it change, if at all, in a half point PPR league?
I think it changes. Corey treats it like a PPR league.
I
do too. You know, in a way, like, it's like you're meeting in the middle. It's not something that I personally prefer, but you know, you like it. Other people do. That's cool. You know, those guys can start for me. You know, as a flex in a half point PPR.
Greg, in a standard last season in standard leagues, Theo Riddick averaged 10 points a game. He averaged 16. Turn your mic on, son. He averaged 16 in the PPR. He averaged 10 in the standard. So I like that. You see what I'm saying? Because, like I said, he catches it so much. He racks up a ton of receiving yards also. So he doesn't take a bigger hit as a guy like Danny Woodhead is. Danny Woodhead get a lot of his volume through checkdowns. You feel what I'm saying? While Theo Riddick got a little bit more explosion to his game. And I think Theo Riddick can probably be a better touchdown scorer, too.
I don't know about that.
He scored he had five receiving touchdowns last year, Scott. What the hell is there not to know about?
We've seen Riddick. We've seen Woodhead be a goal line runner though in the past. Though I'm saying as a runner, as a pure runner, I think you might get more rushing touchdowns from Woodhead potentially than Riddick.
It's three runners. You got Dixon to be back, and you got Terrence
West.
He's going
to miss four games, though.
Okay, but
you know he might.
I think Terrence West would get the goal line work.
He might get some touchdown opportunities there while he's out, and B is a receiver. To me, it's like nearly a wash, but I like Riddick better.
Yeah, Woodhead does kind of have a nose for the end zone. Once he gets inside that 10, to me, they're pretty much similar guys. Maybe I'll agree with Corey that Riddick in a standard, I'll lean a little more, but it's pretty much a coin toss.
Fair enough. I like I said, I lean Riddick here. He does have that nose for the red zone. He's just involved intimately in the red zone offense. We have no idea what Danny Woodhead's going to be in Baltimore. Like maybe he'll be the same exact thing.
And Riddick only has
two rushing touchdowns in his whole career.
He had five receiving touchdowns last year, Scott.
Riddick has a better chance, but he only has Abdullah in front of him.
I'm talking about the comparison as them as runners.
But I don't think either of them are runners. At all.
What I'm saying, though, if I had to put my money on somebody to, like, get some rushing touchdowns, it would be Woodhead over Riddick.
I think that's fair. I think that's completely fair. Yeah. Amir Abdullah has a better chance at rushing touchdowns. Zach Zenner may have a better chance at rushing touchdowns, in all honesty. Yeah.
Isn't Matt Asiata in town?
Matt Asiata's in town as well. We'll see.
No, Matt Asiata's not in Detroit no more.
They released him already?
Matt Asiata is... No, you're right. He moved from Minnesota to Detroit. My bad.
Yeah, so Asiata...
If anything, he's a goal line runner.
If anything, exactly.
I think you know, we saw Zenner, and like, if anything, if out of the Lions, I'd have more confidence in Asiata than I would have with Zenner.
Zenner was good the second end of the year. Yeah,
the last quarter of the season, Zenner ran well.
I'm saying, though, outside the 20s, I might like Zenner, but... Asiata's goal line runner.
I don't know. We've seen Asiata get stuffed four times in a row at the goal line before.
He'll have that one good week. Like, he's like the John Kuhn of running backs. Like, yeah. He'll get that four touchdown.
When Amir Abdullah gets hurt, I wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Washington stepped in and performed much better than he did last year.
I'm not doing the Dwayne Washington.
He looked good at times. Listen, he looked good at times last year. Listen, I'm not going to drop $300-something in fab form like the mistake I made last year. See, I make mistakes too. I'm man enough to admit it, unlike this guy. But what I will say, I like the talent on Dwayne Washington. Listen, a dollar make you holler. If he pop off the waiver wire, don't go crazy. You know what I mean? But he's a player to watch. That's all I'm saying.
Refresh my memory though, because maybe it's just foggy. You said Dwayne Washington looked good last year. When was that?
In the preseason.
Oh, like I said, Dwayne Washington, like...
Amir Abdullah looked good in the preseason.
He was awful.
But you know Amir Abdullah going to be hurt, though.
But let me ask you a question. Now, Dwayne Washington looked awful during the regular season last year when we got an opportunity.
Why are you saying awful, Scott?
Why are you giving Dwayne Washington, you know, rope, but you're not giving Breshad Perriman the rope?
Bashar Perriman's a wide receiver. There's plenty of better wide receivers. Running backs are more difficult to find for fantasy. That's why I'm giving Dwayne Johnson.
Like Bashar Perriman's career is over
already.
He
sucks, Scott. Please stop talking to me about Bashar Perriman. I don't want to hear the name anymore.
Bashar Perriman.
If the Ravens really believed in Bashar Perriman, they wouldn't have went out and got Jeremy Maclin.
I agree with that.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm not saying draft the guy, but I'm not saying his career's not over. He's going to play some sort of factor for that team if he's healthy.
I agree. There's no doubt.
Corey's making like the guy who's going to play flag football with Michael Vick.
Well, maybe he will. Yeah. Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens.
He had a big night last night for fantasy.
Terrell Owens, then?
Michael Vick. He threw 8 touchdown passes.
Well, that's great. Good for him. You should draft him.
Can't. I'm not in a league.
They said they're going to start up a tournament like in 2018.
I can't.
Yeah.
We mentioned Riddick and Woodhead. The same holds true for Darren Sproles. Now, Darren Sproles in Philadelphia is perhaps the architect of this type of running back. Philadelphia literally only runs the ball inside the red zone, in particular inside the 10. That's where the Garrett Blunt, who we're going to talk about later on in the show, that's where he comes to life. Darren Sproles in Philadelphia, he obviously catches a lot of passes. Is his value zero, Corey, in a non-PPR league?
I can't fool with this dude in standard leagues. As a matter of fact, last season, you know, and he averaged 7 points per game in the Standard League, which is not bad. It's around the same as a PPR wide receiver, you know, one of those Julian Edelman types. So it's not terrible, but doesn't really get too many touchdowns running the football. It would have to come in out the passing game or else his work on special teams. And I think some of that goes down this year. Those red zone touches are not going to be there for Darren Sproles. So I'm not in on Sproles in the Standard. I'm not in on Sproles in the PPR.
Well, that was my next question. Matt, in the PPR, are you in on Sproles?
I'm still in on Sproles. I was actually thinking about taking him just now in the 12th round. He was there. I took the gamble on Duke Johnson. I don't feel good about that one neither. But, you know, as I was preaching with the offensive line getting better and stuff. Hey, Sproles, I think, has all these guys. To me, like, Standard is playing fantasy baseball without strikeouts.
I look at Darren Sproles, and as I said, I see a player that kind of made the position famous, and I think ultimately, I'd rather have Danny Woodhead, I'd rather have Theo Riddick, certainly. Darren Sproles, in a standard league, he just doesn't do it for
me. The phase-out is going to start happening this year because he's 34, and they drafted Donnell Pumphrey to maybe be the next Darren Sproles.
Let me go to you here, Scott, because of the hat on your head. When we come back, I want to ask you about CJ Procise in a standard league because I think he's an interesting target, and we know he's going to play, but how effective will he be in a standard league? We'll ask you that when we come back, as well as yes, you, Matt, about the player you just drafted, Duke Johnson, in a standard league. Those two guys up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
And on FNTSY.
Do you know Scott plays air piano now, too?
Scott got the air piano rocking. Whatever air instrument you want, the King Scott Angle can bring it to you.
Little Billy Joel.
Tickets, a little bit of tickets. We're going to sell some tickets for our Scott Angle air instrumental extravaganza right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What do we got, Sussman?
Now, before we hit the break, Scotty, I threw to you about CJ Procise, and Eddie Lacy is the guy we're going to get to later, about a bigger back, not going to catch any passes in a PPR. We'll talk about that in a bit. Same holds true for Thomas Rawls, also in a bigger back type role in Seattle. CJ Procise is the other guy, the pass catching back, the guy that they believe in that's, you know, he's going to catch a ton of passes and be in there on third downs. But if you're playing the standard league, what does that do to the value of a CJ Procise?
It takes a significant hit, obviously, but how much of a hit, you know, is the question. They're going to give him occasional carries. I think they're going to split him out. They're going to throw him the ball out of the backfield. Consistency may be an issue, I think, because, you know, they're going to spread the ball around a lot. A lot of people are going to touch it. But the thing with him is that I believe that he can score from anywhere on the field. He'll get an occasional inside handoff near the goal line. I think he'll score two, three rushing touchdowns. Maybe he'll catch three, four passing touchdowns. So when you're talking about a guy who's got explosive potential to score maybe six touchdowns, you know, I think that's somebody that's, you know, probably like a very good RB4, but consistency is not going to be there.
So would you describe him as electric?
Yes.
In a standard league.
I can't count on him, though.
Okay, because, yeah. But, well, you just had him for six touchdowns, though.
I'm saying overall.
Okay.
What I'm saying is he's going to have a big week, like yardage, like you saw that game against Philly. Like, all of a sudden, like, you throw him.
That's one play, though,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, but I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that, like, you'll throw him a screen pass, he'll score 60 yards and a touchdown, he'll get you 12.
How many times is he going to do that in the course of a season?
Exactly. What I'm saying is he's not going to be consistent the following week, especially from a standard. You know, it might be a dud.
Yeah, no doubt, because you like Eddie Lacy more than anybody up here, so you can't really like C.J. Procise in the standard. All the C.J.
It has nothing to do with Eddie Lacy. They're going to play different roles.
But when is he going to play then, Scott? Okay, you're right.
Greg just laid it out.
His role is going to be the pass-catching back, so what good is he in the standard?
But what I'm saying is he's going to be good in the standard because I think that he's explosive enough that as both with infrequent touches as a runner, occasional touches as a runner, and as a guy who catches the passes out of the backfield, he could score about six touchdowns and have some big plays.
That's a hell of a season.
I just said he's not going to be reliable.
Would you rather?
You see everything in such either or, black or white. It's that's not what I'm saying.
Would you rather own CJ Prosize or Theo Riddick?
I'd rather have CJ Prosize.
Oh, I'd rather have Theo Riddick.
That's so interesting to me because we've seen Theo Riddick be a major part of the offense, both between the 20s and inside the red zone, as Corey pointed out with the 7 touchdowns. So, to me, it's very interesting that 5 touchdowns, was it?
No, he had 7 touchdowns. Okay, that's what I thought. The same 7 Scott projected for Prosize. He had that already.
Yeah. You know what? You guys are right. I like Riddick, but you guys are right. I mean, I like Prosize to a degree.
Okay.
To a degree. I don't think there's going to be consistency. But, you know, rather have Riddick. You're right.
He's learning.
Let me turn the table.
Learning how arrogant you are.
Let me turn the table a little bit, Scotty. It'll keep going. Yeah. Because Danny Woodhead, we know, Matt's drafting everywhere, seeming as RB2. He loves him as the RB2. Theo Riddick, I think we all have to love in a PPR league, in the same vein as the Danny Woodhead. But what about CJ Prosize? What about, can he be as good as Danny Woodhead? Can he be as good as Theo Riddick? I know he has to stay healthy, which Pete Carroll has already called out, Modica.
I do like him. The whole question to me with Seattle is Eddie Lacy. Can this guy keep his weight under control? Which I think if Eddie Lacy has the role that I think he can do, then I do like Eddie Lacy. I won't draft him before the 6th round. If I can get him in the 7th, yeah, I'm definitely in on that. But, I mean, Prosize is a guy that has, like Scott said, he's shown flashes. I think he definitely has a role. I'm not buying this 50-50 timeshare with Thomas Rawls. I think that's motivation for Lacy right now. If Lacy, like I said, can't keep the weight down and is just awful in camp, then maybe Rawls gets a shot. But I think it's Eddie Lacy, you know, short yardage, those first 2 downs. And Prosize is a guy that, based on his talent, I do like in the PPR format. In the standard format, he's another guy that I'm just going to push further and further down.
And I understand that. And I look at CJ Prosize, and I wanted to get in to his current ADP because I find that interesting. If you're looking at, I'm going to just look at the half point PPR because it's more fun for me.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you're looking at the half point PPR. A guy like CJ Prosize is number 102. Could have chosen for Shark Tank. 102, RB 35 off the board. So, Corey, would you rather own Matt Forte or CJ Prosize, PPR, half-point PPR league, whatever.
Half-point PPR?
Yes, sir.
I mean, half PPR, whatever, point per reception.
Sure.
Give me CJ Prosize. I'm gonna take the younger back that's probably in the better system offensively. The Jets suck. You know what I'm saying? We already know how that's going to be this year. So I'm not really fooling with too many offensive players on that team. And the damn sure ain't going to be one that's 30-something years old. So give me the young back and CJ Prosize, but he's got to keep his ass on the field.
You want a young back like CJ Prosize? Why don't I give you somebody younger? CJ Prosize or Sam Perine?
I haven't seen Sam Perine. I don't know what he is. I don't know what he is yet. I want to see some training camp. I want to see what the workload look like. I want to see if he's going to be able to, the word that Matt uses, usurp this job from Fat Rob Kelly.
Scotty.
How you spell usurp?
U-S-U-R-P.
Very good. Thank you.
Scott, other side, a guy we're going to talk about next hour.
Can I answer that question, by the way, the comparison that you just made? I'd rather have Perine over Prosize.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watching the kid, I think he's a good fit for this offense. You know, you talk about Rob Kelly, he had one big game last year, and other than that, you know, really what? You know, they have a good offensive line in Washington, and, you know, watching the film of him in college, he's a very patient runner, and, you know, he's not special, but he's very patient, and, you know, he knows how to hit the hole, and I think there's going to be holes there. I think he fits the Washington offense nicely.
What color was his uniform on the film you watched?
What color was his uniform?
Prosize. Yeah, I mean, Perine.
It was white.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have the same choice.
That's funny. Good answer, Scott.
Yeah, it was a good answer. Well done.
Sam Perine.
So funny.
It's what's really interesting about that answer is that Sam Perine's role is not secure in any way. Like, as I've stated many times, that Robert Kelly is, I think, going to be the guy and the touchdown scorer. I've said that to you. And Prosize's role is kind of secure. So it's very intriguing to me that you went with the not sure thing over what you know, which is not normally what you do. So that was really interesting.
Well, here's two things that Procise won't touch the ball consistently enough.
Neither will Sam Perine.
I think Perine is going to take the starting job and get more consistent touches, and then you have the injury factor with Procise.
I'm curious to see where you're going to have him ranked at, Sam Perine, Scott.
Okay.
How about this? Our own award-winning Jake Seeley.
Inside the Row Expert exclusive Edge package is available now, by the way. Free radio. Check it out.
You get a discount, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his way is Kelly, Procise, and Perine. They're all pretty much four spots.
He loved Procise last year.
He did. He did. He absolutely did. Scott, all right, I was gonna say a different name, but Kareem Hunt or CJ Procise.
Kareem Hunt.
You're really in on these middle round rookie running.
Yeah, I'm going Kareem Hunt. I think the opportunity that he's going to have, the touches that he's going to have, I'm gonna base it on he's just gonna out touch him. And I'll take that volume.
I do not like Spencer Ware. I feel like, you know, he kind of got exposed last year as a guy who can't be a consistent running back wire to wire over a full season.
Corey, Kareem Hunt right now is RB 42, according to Fantasy Pros in the half point PPR. Number 119 overall. Is this guy's value just going to just scorch out draft boards?
I think so. I mean, I got him high. He was RB what?
42.
I got him at 30. You know what I'm saying? So I think, listen, Spencer Ware was a dog towards the end of last year. He's not fit.
Couldn't wait to do that.
Oh my God. He's not fit for this job right now. Spencer Ware. And then they bring Kareem Hunt in. You know what Andy Reid does with his offense is how he likes to run the football, get the backs involved in the passing game. So Kareem Hunt is a player I'm in on. Even if Spencer Ware starts the season stashing cash with Kareem Hunt, I'm in on him. I'm down with it. So I'm with everybody else on Kareem Hunt. Like him in the PPR and in the standard league.
Do you, Scott, draft CJ Procise or LeGarrette Blunt?
LeGarrette Blunt.
Okay. So there's no question.
LeGarrette Blunt was brought there for a reason. The big thing that the Eagles had problems with last year was in the red zone. I think they converted like 49.1% of the time. So they brought in Alshon Jeffrey and LeGarrette Blunt. LeGarrette Blunt's going to score a touchdown.
I do want to ask, in regards to the Kareem Hunt, before we kind of move on into LeGarrette Blunt, for Kareem Hunt, dude played at Toledo, right?
Yep.
5'10", 216.
Not the biggest guy.
Not the biggest guy. Didn't play the big...
216 isn't...
You know, it's not small, but it's not big. Didn't play the big college. Small.
But I'm going to expect him 30 touches. The reason I like him, too, is... For all the things that he did and, you know, that he did in college, that's great. But he's also, it's the coach, it's the system, it's the team, it's everything that he's going
into.
And then it's the competition he has.
So that's where I want to just double down on here. So I agree with that. Like, the coach, the system, they're going to run the ball. I understand that. I just, and maybe you can call me the bad back guy. I understand it. I don't think, much like Robert Kelly in Washington, I don't think Spencer Ware goes away as quickly as certain people think.
And that could very well be the case, Greg. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you on that. Like I said, Kareem Hunt could be a stash in cash.
Yeah.
People are paying for him like he's going to be the starter. I would worry about
exactly.
that. But as far, what would you say his stats were as far as his numbers, his tail of the tape?
And 5'10", 216.
Spencer Ware's going in the fifth round.
Jamal
crazy.
Charles, 5'11", 199.
I agree. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. The question is, those are Jamal Charles' numbers. Can he be Jamal Charles? We'll try to break that down when we return here at the Roto Experts in the Morning. Now, Corey, just a moment ago, we mentioned Kareem Hunt, and I gave you the tale of tape.
Yep.
Right? I gave it to you that ultimately, Kareem Hunt at 5'10", 216, very similarly built to Jamal Charles.
Yep.
Effectively, let's be real here, replacing Jamal Charles in this Kansas City offense.
Yeah.
Picked in the third round similarly like Charles. Playing in Kansas City. I mean, everything says Jamal Charles, screams Jamal Charles to you. But what made Jamal Charles so good was really what Matt just said. You're not expecting 30 carries a game from a Kareem Hunt. You're expecting, you know, 10 to 15 touches, and let's see him explode with those 10 to 15 touches. Obviously, Jamal Charles thrived on that. It didn't matter if he had one touch or 20 touches. Jamal Charles was awesome. And Scotty and Jake, everyone talked about how he didn't need a million touches to be successful. That is what Matt is saying about Kareem Hunt. you are kind of more on my side of the spectrum where, listen, this may be a stash and cash guy because he's not going to, right out of the gate, get all of these touches. Corey, my question is very, very simple. Can Kareem Hunt be Jamal Charles in this KC offense?
Jamal Charles is an electric, dynamic type player that touched the football, go to the crib anytime. That's the kind of game that Jamal Charles had. Now, to project this young man to be like that right out the gate, I don't think that's the case. But one thing he is a proven pass-catching specialist. Last year at Toledo, caught 41 passes, 403 yards and a touchdown. I think he can fit that role as far as Charles like that. But Charles had this thing where he can get the football and he go to the crib on any play. I don't know if Hunt is that type of player yet. I haven't watched the tape, Scott.
You have to turn your mic off if you want to be on the radio.
Damn it.
Jamal Charles was a special talent.
He went to the University of Texas.
He was one of my favorite guys to watch. When he was
in Texas, he was. For me.
Exactly.
Here's the thing with Spencer Ware. His last, from weeks 8 to 16, the guy scored 2 touchdowns. He touched the ball 137 times. His yards per carry were 2.6. It's, you know, he had a couple of big weeks early. Mm-hmm. And look, maybe he was banged up and you want to go that route as well. I just can't pay the price. I don't see paying a fifth or even early sixth round on Spencer Ware. If I can get Hunt later on, I probably can get him in the ninth. I'll draft him in the eighth or end of the seventh. I've even drafted him higher than that, but I just don't see paying for a Spencer Ware.
I ultimately want to cool the Jets a little bit on Hunt. That's where I'm at there.
That's warranted too.
Okay. I mean, what I don't respect, and I agree with you here, Matt, Scotty, is that Spencer Ware in the fifth is too early. Like, I'm not, like, to me, I like Spencer Ware in the seventh and eighth. I do, because I think he's going to run the ball. I don't like him in the fifth because I don't want to rely on him. Because in the fifth, you're drafting your RB2, basically, given your strategy in most drafts, Matt. Mm-hmm. You're drafting your RB2 around the fifth round. I don't want Spencer Ware to be that. I went through that last year. I don't want it again. But if I could push him back, I think with all the Hunt hype going this summer and all the beat reporters talking him up, Scotty, I think Hunt goes up and Ware goes down, and you're going to see their ADPs kind
start
of even
to mirror.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, start to mirror. And when they do, because I really believe it will happen, around that seventh round, I'm going to want Ware. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I probably don't. You know, maybe I could talk about this a little bit more next segment. But, you know, when you look at Hunt from a scouting perspective, he's not Charles. He's a different type of runner. He's a very good inside runner. He can slip out of tackles.
What color is this jersey? What?
White.
Say white. Say white. Wait a minute. With yellow pants. Okay. With yellow pants. All right. But he catches passes like Corey alluded to. He's a different type of runner. He's inside kind of guy. But you know what, though? I don't like Spencer Ware to the point that if Ware doesn't do it and Hunt don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Because if Hunt doesn't seize the opportunity, that doesn't mean I can trust Ware to be anything special.
We'll talk more running backs here on the other side. Hour number 2, just minutes away, here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number 2 of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Matty Modica, the King, Scott Engel, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. If you want to see, if you're not watching on the Fantasy Sports Network, you're listening to us live on the radio, check your Instagram, Fantasy Sports Network. You always get a little glimpse of the King each and every morning here on the Roto Experts. Scott, before we hit the break, you were breaking down the film you watched of Yellow Pants, White Jersey, Kareem Hunt.
It is also the Yellow Jersey, White Pants, but...
What school is it?
Toledo.
Very good.
Yeah. Very good. You like a teacher now or something?
Scott, go ahead with your analysis,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, can you stop interrupting me like you always do? But the thing about it, the one thing I don't like when I watch him on the film, this guy runs very upright. and hopefully in camp, you know, as he hits the pros, they'll kind of quell that, because when you run that upper right, you're going to get exposed to some big hits, especially the way the kid runs inside like he does.
All right, there you go. There you go, with Kareem Hunt, more of an inside runner potentially than Jamaal Charles. And we'll see if the Chiefs, and they have the ability.
You made a great point about Charles. It's just like, he's the type of back where, like, it wasn't about volume. It's like he made the most of every single touch.
And I think Kareem Hunt's going to have to do that.
Does he even make the Broncos, though?
Jamaal Charles? Roster? I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
All right. Before we move on to the bigger backs in the PPR leagues, I do want to ask you about Duke Johnson, who you just selected in a draft here, Matt. Corey has sworn off Duke Johnson. He's never doing it again.
He just told me to take him.
Well, that's you.
No, no, look.
He's never doing it again.
It's best ball. That's why I took him. If it was a different type of league, I would have went with Jamaal Williams and pretty much secured the... I have Ty Montgomery, so I would have secured that. But I'll take the shot there. It's the 12th round. So, you know what, sometimes... The thing that scares me with Duke Johnson is this. In the second half of the year, Isaiah Crowell out-targeted him. And that's kind of something you don't want to see if you're drafting Duke Johnson.
Does Duke Johnson have any value in a standard league?
Unless Isaiah Crowell gets hurt, maybe.
Scott doesn't even like Crowell because he plays with the Browns. I can't imagine Scott, he'll be in on Duke Johnson anywhere.
He did catch 61 passes last year, but that's for a PPR.
I'm so happy you said that.
You're talking only 534 receiving yards. You know, there's like no rushing yards really to speak of. I'm not in on him, no. I'm not in the standard, no way.
I'm so happy you said that because just 6 months ago, Corey sat in that very seat.
He was downstairs underneath the tent.
No, it was here.
We was up here already?
Yeah, it was January. We were up here. It was the end of the season.
Legendary tent.
And Corey Parkinson says, I'm going to look at Duke Johnson's stats at the end of the year. I'm going to see he caught 60 passes. And I'm going to be like, ooh, I like Duke Johnson. But I'm not going to let myself do that. Here we are. We're at the end of June. 61 passes. Can you talk yourself back into Duke Johnson?
Hell no.
Hell no is the answer. When we come back on the Roto Experts in the morning, we'll talk about the bigger backs in the PPR league. LeGarrette Blount, Eddie Lacy, where should you draft them? We discussed next on the Roto Experts in the morning. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I didn't know Scott had the talent to truly be a pianist.
He is.
Yes, he is indeed.
Yes.
All right, gentlemen, I wanted to get into some of these bigger backs in the PPR leagues. They don't catch passes, so it kind of reminds me of pitchers in baseball that don't strike out enough batters. We tend to ignore them. We tend to rate them less. And I think the same holds true for bigger backs in the PPR league. Let's get to the guy that led the league in touchdowns last year in LeGarrette Blount, right? 18 touchdowns last year with New England. Now he's in Philadelphia. He's not going to run the ball 25 times a game. It is not going to happen in Doug Peterson's offense. We saw last year, they didn't run the ball. They just didn't do it. Now you have a LeGarrette Blount who broke a ton of tackles last year, scored a ton of touchdowns. You know what his role is. You know what his job is. What does this mean for where you draft him, Scotty?
I think, Blount's obviously not going to score 18 touchdowns. And you look at, they have like a cavalcade of like miniature backs there. You know, they're going to use differently.
But
this is a team that threw a lot last year, and now it's got better playmakers. There's going to be opportunities for LeGarrette Blount to score double digit touchdowns again. So whether you play in a PPR or you play in a standard, I think, you know, this guy is still, LeGarrette Blount in past years would always go in like the 7th to 9th round. And, you know, if Blount's still there in the 8th and I'm looking like 11 rushing touchdowns this year, I'm doing it.
I look at LeGarrette Blount, I see a touchdown scorer. Is the 8th round too late, Matt?
I don't think so. I'll probably be the low man on LeGarrette Blount. I think you take him out of that system. You take him away from Tom Brady. Look, when you got Tom Brady under center and you have that team, it's a different animal. He's going into, as I keep repeating, second year head coach there in Philly, second year quarterback. I didn't think LeGarrette Blount was anything special prior to going to New England. He excelled in a system. Football to me is a lot with the system and everything like that. Okay, he's going to get the goal line carries. We'll see, but I don't know. I'm
you like Kareem Hunt more than you like LeGarrette Blount, Matt?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
All right.
I do, too.
You do, too?
Really?
I do, too. Wow. But I like Blount, though. I'm telling you, this team, a big focus of their offseason push was we got to improve in the red zone. So we got Alshon Jeffrey and we got LeGarrette Blount. Now, I agree with you, of course. Not going to be like he was in New England, but I think he still gets – I sliced him from 18 to 11. I think he's still going to be relevant.
I'm moving him up. Blount and Gillisley, probably going to get to Gillisley in a little bit.
We are.
I'm moving him up. I'm moving him up to seven. I might even fool with running backs like this in the sixth round. Listen, he's not going to catch the football out of the backfield, but he's going to score, like Scott said. He's still going to score double-digit touchdowns. He's a first and second down runner. He's not going to be on the field on third down, but he's a first and second down runner that's going to have extreme volume next to the goal line. Double-digit touchdowns, I think, is a lock for LeGarrette Blount. I'm not worried about him catching the football. I'm going to put him in my lineup as an RB2 and have him get those touches. If he can score me a touchdown a game, I'm satisfied with that.
But how good of a runner is LeGarrette Blount without the Patriots offense? That's what I think helped him a lot.
Sure, but you're 100% right. It did help him a lot. But I don't think I need him to be a good runner. Where you're getting him here, you're talking about in the eighth round.
Yeah.
Matt, you're talking about you like Kareem Hunt more, even though we have no idea right now in June 27th or 28th or whatever, what Kareem Hunt's role is going to be in this offense. He's a smaller guy. I have absolutely no idea. I can guarantee you on June 28th what LeGarrette Blount's role is in
Listen,
Philadelphia.
Listen, last year in New England, he touched the football. He carried the football 299 times. That's a hell of a workload for a gentleman that's 30 years old. So those numbers, like I said, he's going to be playing on first and second down. So those numbers will to probably get to about that 225. You get him at 225, those yards per carry around 4.1, 4.2, 11 touchdowns. That is still a running back two in fantasy football. I'm in on him, but more so than I'm in, maybe not 225, maybe 215 or something.
Yeah,
like.
I wanted to ask you about
I'll
that.
I'll take the under on 4 yards a carry.
Because
okay.
you got the other running backs they want to give carries
like
to
who?
In that backfield.
Smallwood?
They want to
give him the ball.
They want to give Smallwood. They want to give Marshall the ball. They want to give this rookie the ball. They want
Marshall?
Yeah, Byron Marshall.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think they're going to play him.
I'm saying, though, they might. It might be a committee approach outside the 20s, but once you get in there, then it's Blount.
But that's what I'm drafting with LeGarrette Blount for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give me something I know. I know
Correct.
LeGarrette Blount can score touchdowns.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know nothing about what Adrian Peterson's going to be doing.
Yep.
I don't know nothing about what Kareem Hunt is going to be doing.
Yep.
It's cool to speculate on these players, but LeGarrette Blount is a lone commodity.
But last week, though, about at the FSTA, about what Peterson could be. He could be that goal line back,
I'm not
too.
Fooling with Adrian Peterson. I'm not doing with no beat-up old man like Adrian Peterson
let's
on my fantasy team.
Let's move on to Mike Gillisley.
Blount's
then.
30.
Who people are seemingly high on, right? Like people like Mike Gillisley because they think he could be LeGarrette Blount in New England. He's a touchdown scorer. We saw it in Buffalo. Now he's in New England. All of a sudden, he's going to be LeGarrette Blount. Corey, very simple question. LeGarrette Blount or Mike Gillisley?
Mike Gillisley. Take LeGarrette Blount is 30 years old. Mike Gillisley is 26 years old. And like Matt Modica mentioned, he's going into that offense. New England is going to have a better offense than they will have in Philadelphia. So I'll take Mike Gillisley. I'll even move him up. Now, listen, it's dangerous moving Gillisley up because you know how Bill Belichick carried. He's not really going to let you know what his game plan evolves and stuff like that. I'll take Gillisley over Adrian Peterson. I'll take Gillisley over Sam Perine. I'll take Gillisley over C.J. Anderson. I'll take him over Kareem Hunt. And I'll take him over Spencer Ware. Obviously, Gillisley is a player that I can get involved with.
Yeah, I'd go Gillisley, Peterson, then Blount. Out of those three.
So are you just on Gillisley because you think he could be LeGarrette Blount from last year? Is that it?
I think the Patriots know how to use players. And we've seen what he did with Buffalo. And I honestly, going into last year, I didn't think he was going to be the guy to get that role. I've stated I thought it would be Jonathan Williams.
Yep.
But, you know, the suspension and the other stuff. So, look, they went and actually paid a price for this guy against a division rival. So I'm thinking he has plans for Mike Gillisley. And we saw that he can perform on this level. Look, it was in a limited role. So there is risk there as well. But I'm going to bet the Patriots every time.
Yeah, and those are good points about how they know how to use players and how they poached him from a team, division rival, like and paid for him. You know, they did this with Wes Welker, Danny Woodhead. You know, Belichick saw him on the Dolphins, too, and he's sitting back and he's going, man, I like this guy, and I know exactly how to use him.
He did it with Danny Woodhead as well.
Yeah.
Scotty mentioned Woodhead. Yeah. He did Chris Hogan. We've seen that. Of course, Scotty mentioned Wes Welker. We've seen it time and time again.
He's done on the defensive side, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No question. David Harris just signed with the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you look at the situation for Mike Yosley, and I want to be clear, though. In a PPR, he's not going to catch any passes. His role is going to be a between the tackles thumper.
That still counts.
I agree.
6 points when he's in the end zone.
I agree.
And that's the equivalent of 6 receptions.
I am 1,000% with you, Scotty. Mm-hmm. But the same holds true for LeGarrette Blount, too. They're not going to score as much as the Patriots do. Let's be real. But the same holds true.
I would want to say, I really want to watch how Gillis Lee's used and Rex Burkhead. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Patriots are really going to show us anything in the preseason. Yeah. We know that. They are the most secretive team. They know how to do things behind closed doors. They keep everything close to the vest. And that's one of the reasons why they're who they are, the most dominant franchise.
100%. All right, so you're saying Gillis Lee in the 7th, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'd take him in the 7th.
Would you say Kareem Hunt over Gillis Lee?
Probably going to take Gillis Lee just for the Patriot factor,
okay.
There.
Scotty.
Gillis Lee.
Gillis Lee or your boy Sam Perine?
Gillis Lee.
Okay. LeGarrette Blount or Sam Perine?
Blount.
Okay. I know you stand, Corey, with Blount and with Gillis Lee here.
Yo, shout out to Dennis Royal on Twitter. He just tweeted at me. He said, I'd honestly take Jeff the Skeleton before Adrian Peterson.
I mean, look, I really like
Ingram,
elusive,
but
Peterson's growing on me.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a role for this guy. I'm going to take Peterson over Blount every time. I'm sorry. I'm just going to do that.
What?
Maybe I'm in the minority at this table.
Well, Adrian Peterson is what I wanted to get to, though. Adrian Peterson in New Orleans, high-profile offense, but Mark Ingram exists.
I love Mark Ingram, but I don't know. Sean I don't know Payton, where to take Ingram anymore. I'm being honest with you. I really don't. I see people taking him in the 6th round on talent. I think that's a great get, but I don't know. And we've seen it. We talked about it yesterday. The Chris Ivories of the world. There is a role for a touchdown guy in New Orleans.
Oh, there certainly is. There certainly is.
I'm about to pull out the Inside Injuries app and go through a rundown of Adrian Peterson's recent struggles with staying on the field. Do you mind if we do that? I know we got Dr. A coming soon. We got to talk baseball with Dr. A. But I don't trust the guy's health, Adrian Peterson.
And he's in his early 30s now. He's a little bit older. He probably doesn't regenerate.
He had a groin injury last year. That worries me.
Sure. He had the knee injury, of course.
Can't run if your groin is hurting. You feel what I'm saying?
I don't know. LeGarrette Blount could go out and get stoned and get busted for that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but if LeGarrette Blount's
30, I'm going to take the 32-year-old.
If LeGarrette Blount is out getting stoned, it's because he's trying to rejuvenate his body.
I'm going to take
Superman
versus
LeGarrette
Blount.
Trying to get that medical back in him. You feel what I'm saying? There you go right there.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Dr. A. George's program. Talk to a little baseball with him. And we'll get back to the running backs on the other side. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll wait on Dr. Ray for a bit. Now, Corey, before we hit the break, you were taking a look at the Inside Injuries app, and you were taking a look at Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, so I got the Inside Injuries app, but then I pulled up Instagram. So hold up, let me go back and find Inside Injuries, because that's more important to what we're doing right now.
I just want him to have supervised visits with his kids, and I'm okay drafting him.
Oh, you know what?
Jeez.
There you go right there. All right, so let me scroll down. The Inside Injuries app is so useful. It's so helpful. You can get it right now for the iOS or Android device. Our guy, Dr. A, we'll hear from him in a few moments on the program. Of course, InsideInjuries.com, and they do some great stuff with us over here at the Fantasy Sports Network and the RotoExperts.com exclusive edge package. So Dr. A be joining us in a little moment right now. So now I'm looking through the app, and I'm trying to find Adrian Peterson's name.
It's under P.
Well, how about this, Chris? How do you feel about Ingram? Because I'm confused. So how do you feel?
I'm confused on Ingram, too. I think Ingram, at this point in his career, is a better talent than Adrian Peterson. I think Ingram is a player I would rather have. But it seems like Ingram and Mr. Sean Payton, head coach, got some kind of beef that they can't seem to figure out how to work out. But they're going to have to work it out. And I'm going to tell you why they're going to have to work it out. Because when I pull up Adrian Peterson on the Inside Injuries app, the first thing I see is red. Health performance, injury risk category, high. Health performance factor, below average. Overall injury risk, 27.72. Overall health factor, 56. This guy is a player that is beat up. ACL, MCL, LCL, PCL, tendonitis. You saw the thing last season he had with the groin injury. He is getting older every season. Last year, it was the partial tear of the PCL, the grade 3 tendonitis, the cartilage tear. This is a running back that's in his 30s. Why are we even thinking about fooling around with this dude? You've seen how beat up he's been the past couple years. The Inside Injuries app is telling us right now, this is not a player you want to invest on. Are they going to talk about him in June? Like, oh, he's the same AP. He got the same flash. Is he going to have that same flash in week 3? No. He's going to be nursing some kind of injury. Mark Ingram's the guy.
People are talking about him because of the situation that he's in. It's like, you read Chris Ventra's latest article on rotoexperts.com, an exclusive edge package. Enter free radio checkout for a discount. And he talks about players and the schemes and their situations that they're in, like Matt does. And he says, this is the best offense that he's ever played in. And he may not be asked to play a full-time role. So that's why there is optimism on Peterson. He can be the goal line runner. He's in a very good offense. The passing game can open up running lanes. And the fact that that the head coach doesn't like Peyton, those are the reasons why people are optimistic.
Well, my biggest question is, like, Marshawn Lynch is going, say, fourth round. And, like, four rounds later, you can get Adrian Peterson. The Saints' offensive line is vastly improved. You know, as you just said, one of the best offenses in the league, the best offense he's probably ever been on. They brought him in. So if I'm going to subscribe to the theory that there's a role that Sean Payton, who we consider this offensive kind of guru guy, has for Adrian Peterson. Now, Corey makes a good point. The injuries, and you have to worry about that. But can we say the fact that he didn't play much is a help at 32?
See, the thing I don't like about it, okay, so you put him in New Orleans and everybody's like, oh, well, it's the best offense he's ever been a part of. Okay, mm-hmm. Bet. He does not catch the football out the backfield.
Mm-hmm. He never did.
So he's not going to be on the field on third down.
But I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch doesn't catch the football. He's not going to be catching the ball.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch is going to be scoring touchdowns.
I understand, but I'm assuming Adrian Peterson is going to be scoring touchdowns.
See, that's where I think he's got to be on the field and able to score touchdowns. I'm not sure how much he's going to be on the field. And then I'm just looking at the overall offense. He's a one down player. They throw the football just about in the top quarter of the league, New Orleans Saints. He doesn't run out the shotgun. They're not in the shotgun that much. He's in the center a lot. I just don't know when he's going to be on the field to be able to produce this volume, so I'm not in on him.
The one thing you got over him, of Lynch has over him, maybe is injury, but then again, Lynch was getting hurt in his final year. Now Lynch, you expect him to be on the field a little more because there's no Ingram, but he's not a three down player either, and he's also 31 years old. So
he's had a year off, though.
Yeah, but he was getting banged up though before. Didn't Peterson have a year off where he got suspended too?
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, but Peterson has had
major injuries. Marshawn Lynch has not had a major injury.
Yeah, but Marshawn Lynch was breaking down in 2015.
You keep saying that. So how was he breaking down, Scott? What was proved to me that he was breaking down? What was the injury that was breaking him down?
He was the 51st most productive running back in fantasy football in 2015.
He was on the field how much?
Seven games.
All right. What was he going to do in seven games?
He was breaking down.
I mean, look what Tim Hightower did last year in New Orleans.
Exactly. Hightower can catch.
I understand, but Hightower, you got guys like Chris Ivory that were able to go in there and get touchdowns.
Corey lays out the negatives, and you lay out the positives, but guess what? That's the whole picture. It's the whole picture. He's neither positive. He's neither negative.
Look, I want to draft Mark Ingram. I really want to take Mark Ingram.
With Lynch, but he's a guy everybody talks about the positives and not enough about the negatives. Both these guys have touchdown possibilities. There's positives. There's negatives to both of them. But you're getting Peterson. You're getting to Peterson a few rounds later.
All right, and with that, it's time to bring in the good doctor, Dr. A. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you this morning?
We're doing very well. We wanted to change gears a little bit, talk some baseball here with you on the show. And, you know, I was just talking to Matt and saying how disgruntled I was about the Yankees and their loss last night. And that wasn't because of Starlin Castro, because, well, he didn't play. Castro hit the DL with a hamstring injury. How serious is it?
Okay, so the hamstring injury is currently on our system as a grade one strain. You know, it's a typical optimal recovery time of 2 to 3 weeks. Right now he's at elevated injury risk and below average, but if he does rest, and you guys have heard me talk about this all the time, hamstring injuries require the full amount of rest. They are highly likely to recur if not. And so if he does rest for at least 2 to 3 weeks, he should be back to low injury risk and above average, and possibly back into peak health as well. So it's about 2 to 3 weeks.
Carlos Gonzalez goes on the DL this week. The Rockies are saying, Doc, that he might be back when his 10 days are up.
You said Carlos Rodon?
Carlos Gonzalez.
Who did you mention there?
Carlos Gonzalez.
Got it.
Yes. See.
Got it. Yeah, so the he has a, you know, the grade one strain in his non-throwing shoulder, which is good. It's not the throwing shoulder. Even though they say that there's no timetable for return, you know, it looks like on our system that it's a grade one. Optimal recovery time is 1 to 2 weeks. It doesn't really drop his stats much. You know, he was low and above average, and he's remaining low and above average. So our algorithm is really just saying that, you know, he just needs about a week. It's not too serious, and he should be back out there.
Hey, what's going on, Doc Scorey, fantasy executive? How you doing, bro?
Good, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Scott said you out of town. Where you at? You out of town, Doc?
I am out of town.
Nice.
I'm in my favorite place. I'm in the Caribbean again.
Oh, Doc's in the Caribbean.
International man of mission.
There you go. Doc's on a vacation. That's what I like to hear. So, good luck, you and your lady, Doc. I hope y'all enjoy yourself. Doc, when you get back to the A, though, is Freddie Freeman going to be on the field?
So, like I said, you know, that grade three wrist injury, you know, takes, last time we talked, about 8 to 10 weeks. You know, right now he's still at elevated at 23% and below average, but which is an improvement. Last time, about a week ago, he was at high injury risk and below average. So he's improved to elevated. It's still going to be another at least 4 to 6 weeks before he is, you know, sort of ready to go. You know, I know he's taking some dry swings this week, and he's going to start a rehab assignment next week. But still, you know, you should not expect to see him back until the end of July.
Hey, Doc. Dodgers stud shortstop Corey Seager. What's the status on him? He's a vital player. We're all concerned. So what do you see here?
Yeah, so this is a guy that our algorithm has labeled him as elevated injury risk from the beginning of the season. And, you know, grade one, he had a grade one hamstring strain. Now it's put him into high injury risk. Again, shortstop hamstring injuries, it's one of those things where it's a very sensitive part of the body. Even though it's a grade one, probably going to be a little bit tentative with him. It will be about 3 to 4 weeks before he should return. I know he's not being placed on the DL, but whenever you have a shortstop with a grade one hamstring injury, it's highly likely to recur, and that's why he's at a high injury risk and below average designation. If he comes back in like the next 5 to 7 days, I would be very, very cautious with him in terms of starting him.
There you go. Dr. A, Inside Injuries. We appreciate the time as always, Doc. Enjoy the trip.
Thank you. I'm coming back today, so I will be in the States next time we talk.
Fantastic. Very Thank nice. You, Doctor. Dr. A, of course. Inside Injuries. And you heard about Corey Seager. He's not being placed in the DL. He could be back as soon as tonight. And very, very dangerous if you're a Corey Seager owner.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Mets are kind of like controlling this. For some reason, they don't ever use 10-day DL.
It sounds like
I saw Seager at the beginning of the week, and, you know, they were talking about day-to-day and stuff like that. But then I saw hamstring, and I'm like, he's got to be out for longer. So I held him out of my weekly lineup.
That was smart. Yeah. That was actually very, very smart. I wish I did the same thing. It makes, they really just put him on the DL.
Yeah, the Dodgers could survive it. You know, like the Mets with like Conforto, I don't get. He's the future. They're selling.
Right.
He has a severe hand injury. Right. Put him on the 10-day DL.
Dr. A in the Caribbean. I hope he don't bring back no babies.
Caribbean Queen.
That's what I'm just saying. It's an older man. You know what he out there doing.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk some more running backs here with you on the Roto Express in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Caribbean Queen.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
He's saying that Pat Jr. Ewing and Billy Ocean favor each other.
We're talking to these running backs.
I like Billy Ocean.
And one guy you guys were arguing about during the break was Marshawn Lynch. And mainly just the Seahawks, but we'll just make it pretend it was Marshawn Lynch. And Marshawn Lynch goes to Oakland, and I admit very, very much so that I am not the high guy on Marshawn Lynch here this year.
Neither am I.
I know you're not. We're on the same side of that argument, Scott. That Lynch all of a sudden is going to walk back into Oakland and be beast mode again. We're going to forget that he was injured all of his last time playing. We're going to forget that he skipped a year. We're going to forget he was out of shape. We're going to forget all that.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch in a PPR league, Corey, you have been behind him.
Yeah. I'm behind him in PPR. I'm behind him in standard. I like the goal line work he's going to get. I think he can post close to 1,000 yards this season. He's playing behind one of the best offenses in the NFL. Might be a little bit of rust. He'll get that knocked off during training camp. I don't see why not. You're going to tell me about how he was banged up in 2015. I get it. He gets a year off, rejuvenate his body. You know what I'm saying? He's in a situation where he's motivated. He got the whole town behind him. I'm rolling with Marshawn Lynch. I got him as my running back 13.
Running back 13, which means you're taking him where, sir?
I will take him in the 4th, 5th round.
That's crazy.
What's crazy about that?
The last time we saw Marshawn Lynch play football, he couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah, but now he's had a year off, and now he's healthy again. He's healthy.
For how long?
Inside injury app has him as low to elevated risk. Listen, if he could play the whole season, he's going to be phenomenal. If I can get 13 games of Marshawn Lynch, I can get 13 touchdowns.
I know, Matt, you were also on the side of a Marshawn Lynch.
It's, like I said, I drafted him in the 4th round, I don't know, drafted 2 ago, and it's the right move, but I don't feel that great about it. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, so it's one of those things. I think he's going pretty much, the consensus has him pretty much about the 12th back overall in a PPR. And like Corey says, that offensive line is looking damn good in Oakland. You got those receivers, you got David Carr, another year. So, I mean, things are hard not to like, but I still, like Scott says, he hasn't played. But I think once we see him in training camp, if he is dedicated, which I believe he is by saying that he's going to come back, it's his hometown, he sees the possibility of this team and what they can do. So I think he's right around that 12-13 range for me as well.
That's so interesting to me because, and we'll talk about this more in a second, but
different
first,
narratives between the two guys in the same rank. Interesting.
Interesting.
He said 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put a positive spin, he put more of a skeptical spin.
That's a good point. Yeah. Let's talk to Kenny in Philly, who's just called in here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Good morning, Kenny.
Kenny, what's popping?
What's up, Kenny?
Kenny.
How you doing, boys? What's going on?
What's up,
Kenny? Name Dave. Hey, Dave. I'm like 200% on your side, and I don't know what these guys are talking about.
Who's Dave?
Who's Dave?
Scott. Yeah, Scott.
I said, that's my middle name, Dave.
No.
Yeah.
I said Dave.
Who's Dave?
What's the other gentleman on the show name?
Matt. Come on, Matt Medica. Okay, Matt. That's Goldman Sachs, I'm sorry. Matt.
I'm sorry, buddy.
That's all good.
But I'm 200% on your side. Scott, you're pretty fair with the AP thing, but Corey, you're so far off, man. Let me tell you the same thing.
Whoa.
Sean Payton hates Mark Ingram. I don't know. He hates him. Last year, he got vulture multiple times by Hightower, and Ingram started speaking out, and then that next game, he had a big game, but Sean Payton literally hates Mark Ingram.
All right, but when you, okay, I get what you're saying, Kenny, but when you're in a situation where you're trying to win football games. You got to put that type of stuff aside. Who's he going to let somebody else come in and vote you, Mark Ingram, now? It's not that I think Mark Ingram is going to get this first opportunity to take over the job from Adrian Peterson. I think Peterson is going to be, I think Peterson will be injured very shortly into the season, and I think he's going to perform poorly, and I think Ingram is going to seize the opportunity. Am I drafting Ingram all over the place? No, I just think Peterson is popped. I think he's toast.
I think the Ingram will probably end up being the starter early, but I do see Adrian Peterson at least taking over the goal line carries. And this will be the best offense that AP's been in a very long time. And plus, Sean Payton, he loves to shuffle the running backs. Even the year we won the Super Bowl, we had Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, and of all people, Mike Bell was given value. So, I mean, I have no doubt that AP is going to be a factor. I'm in the red zone this year, so.
I mean, if he's a factor in the red zone, then I'll be wrong. I won't have him nowhere, and I apologize. But in my opinion, I am staying away from Adrian Peterson. I stayed away from Adrian Peterson last year, and that worked, didn't it?
Yeah, obviously. All right. New team, new offense. And let me ask you guys a question real quick. With all the variants and everybody moving around, it's like as far as the drafting situation, I'm in the first round, like, after like the first six, maybe seven definite picks, like it's going to be up in the air from there. What do you guys think about that?
Dave?
Well, I think it's however you want to start, however you feel comfortable. I play PPR. I'm going to probably load up on the receivers, but if you want to go with a McCoy, a Gordon or a Freeman, whoever you feel comfortable with, and you want to maybe get that one running back to start, get your foundation that way, that works as well. Just have a plan, have a strategy mapped out before you go. You're not going to get a bad player in the first round.
What I would say about the first round, you got six running backs that got first round value, and then when it comes to the wide receivers, don't be afraid to raise AJ Green up the board, and don't forget about T.Y. Hilton.
You know, I sit here and I've looked at it personally that Matt and you and I have talked about this. You have the seven guys who you're very comfortable with. I think 8-9, I personally, me, go A.J. Green and Joey Nelson, and then it's more of that crapshoot with McCoy and Freeman and Hilton. Not crapshoot, but that's where the other guys go.
A little bit of a slip.
A little bit of a slip. For me, those nine guys is where I am.
And anytime I make a wrong prediction, I will go by the name Dave.
Dave Modica. Before
back to Lynch.
Yeah, though, exactly where I wanted to go, Scott.
You know, and it was interesting. They're both two different narratives, almost the same rank. Everybody's in love with the story and the situation, but the player played seven games and
in 2015.
That was 2015. All of a sudden, a year off makes him rejuvenated. I'm not so sure about that because he's still got a lot of weight. Hold on, let me finish. You have your time to talk.
Go ahead.
Okay. We were talking about for years about Lynch dropping off because he's got so much wear on his tires. That doesn't go away. Okay, it doesn't go away. I think he's got the opportunity to score touchdowns, but we're also talking about age. This guy is still 31 years old with a lot of tread on his tires, and the last time we saw him, he did not look like Marshawn Lynch.
That's because he was hurt.
He was getting hurt because of what everybody was talking about for 3 years, that he had so much wear on his tires and played so physically for so long. Everybody wants to think that he's going to be beast mode all of a sudden again because it's a great story. I don't think that, you know, it's so, you talk about Peterson getting hurt. This guy was showing signs of breaking down.
So let me, okay, first of all,
he was not the same running back. Let
me say this. First of all, officially, Phil Jackson is gone from Madison Square Garden. Thank you, Jesus. So there you go. That's official right now.
God is
Scott,
good.
Yes, Scott, what was the injuries that was breaking Marshawn Lynch down in 2015?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
He had a hamstring injury, Scott.
He played seven games.
He's breaking down with he had a hamstring injury and he had abdominal surgery. A hamstring is not going to keep a person out for a year.
His back continued to flare up on him.
And now he got to hit a year rest, Scott.
All of a sudden, he's going to clear up now, everything. Scott. He's 31 years old. Let and me look he's how got many carries he's had.
Let him get hit again. When he gets hit again, his back's going to hurt again.
Yes.
Marshawn Lynch can play through the back injury. I'm not worried about that. The hamstring and the abdominal surgery was the issue. Year, those are not. Saying, he don't have a hamstring for a year and a half,
but
Scott.
You said he can play through the back injury. That continued to flare up for him in the last year and a half.
We saw Thomas Rawls start.
That actually happened to him in 2012. He sat out a game.
We saw Thomas Rawls start out of nowhere when a back injury flared up. We've seen Marshawn Lynch be on the bike to start games because of his
back.
And
then you see him go out there and run MFers over.
And then there's sometimes
that's
where
what
you
he
don't.
Used to do.
I said we bother Dr. A and call him on his vacation.
He wasn't consistently running people over in 2015.
Me, I agree.
He did not look like the same running
back. He's not the same running back. He's okay. Very, very different.
He
all
did
right,
not look like he did.
Let me throw this out to the three of you guys. Marshawn Lynch or Carlos Hyde?
Marshawn Lynch.
I'm going to take Lynch. Hyde, I think, is probably be one of the best values this year. Here's the thing with Lynch.
You're welcome for that.
Here's the thing with Lynch.
I scored only like a dozen touchdowns in his whole career.
Okay, but here's the reason why I think you have to have him ranked pretty much where Corey was saying, and I'm with it and with the consensus. Look at what Latavius Murray did. And he was, from weeks 1 to 16, I think the 12th running back last year. So I think, at worst, Marshawn Lynch could be that.
See, I don't necessarily disagree with that. But, you know, I think there is something of an injury risk. You know, I'm kind of with you on that. You know, if he can be Latavius Murray, that doesn't mean a ton of yardage. I don't know if he can get...
Well, that's the floor I'm giving him.
Yeah, that's the floor you're giving him. That's fair. You know, I'm agreeing with you. But yardage-wise, I don't know if he can run people over the way he used to.
Corey, Lynch or Hyde?
Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch or Isaiah Crowell? Corey.
Lynch or Isaiah Crowell.
That's yeah, I'm going to take Isaiah as well.
Isaiah Crowell.
Scotty.
Close. I'll take Crowell.
Marshawn Lynch or Joe Mixon, Matt?
I'm going Joe Mixon. I want the guy that's catching balls and he's on the field three downs.
I'm with Dave. I go Mixon.
Corey?
Marshawn Lynch is my 13th ranked running back. Joe Mixon is my 14th ranked running back. If I'm on the clock, I probably take Joe Mixon.
And you probably should change that ranking.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I got rankings that were...
You probably should change the ranking if that's what you're going to do. Because you're being disingenuous.
It is being disingenuous. We'll get back to that.
We'll talk about disingenuous. Yeah, that's fine.
Marshawn Lynch or Christian McCaffrey?
Marshawn Lynch.
McCaffrey.
I'm going to go with
PPR.
What are you doing?
But I'll probably rank
Marshawn Lynch.
Right, there you go. We'll come back. We'll talk about Corey's completely disingenuous rankings. And we'll find out what's up next here on all the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as Old School Fantasy comes your way. Final minute or two here. Roto Experts, the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Before we head off, I have to go back to you, Mr. Parson, because you said a moment ago that Joe Mixon is 14 in your rankings.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is 13. The push comes to shove. You are on the clock. You would take Joe Mixon ahead of Marshawn Lynch.
Depends on what the first couple rounds of the draft
Why?
Look like.
Why?
Because it's roster construction.
Don't give me that BS right
now. How do I not give you that BS?
That is so true.
That's not true in this case.
It is true. How
would I see rankings?
Wait.
Because Joe Mixon catches passes. If I need receptions, I'm going to take Mixon.
No, you're taking Mixon because you think he's the better player. He just scored more fantasy points at the end of the year.
If I have Antonio, if I got like an Antonio Brown, a Demaryius Thomas, and I'm loaded with receptions, then I can take a Marshawn Lynch and start to rack up some touchdowns. See what I'm saying? I'm building this thing for the long haul. You know,
sure.
I'm not just picking players.
I understand that, but when you are picking a player, especially when they are so closely ranked for you, Marshawn Lynch and Joe Mixon, to me, you are picking a. This is not like Marshawn Lynch and Danny Woodhead.
No,
there's a clear split between these two guys. When it comes to Joe Mixon and Marshawn Lynch, you are picking the guy, in my opinion, that you believe is going to score the most fantasy points. You think Joe Mixon? The reason people are so high on Joe Mixon, you sir included, Matt, is that because you think Joe Mixon can be an all around back, can be a three down back that can have the ability to catch passes, to score touchdowns, to carry inside the 20s and inside the red zone. That's why you draft Joe Mixon. So don't say Joe Mixon's going to catch all these passes and that's what makes him different.
Joe Mixon is going to have
Let me ask you this, Corey.
PPR.
Here's more context on this. Let's say I'm a caller. I call up. Hi, I'm Jeff the Skeleton. I want to talk to Corey. Corey, you know, I have a hard time of going back and forth here doing a lot of mock drafts. Should I take Joe Mixon or Marshawn Lynch if I'm on the board?
What round are you in?
I'm in the fourth round, and I want a running back, and they're both there.
How many? Who's on your team so far?
I got two wide receivers and a running back.
Who are the two wide receivers? You have two wide receivers and a running back?
Yeah.
Oh, so take Marshawn Lynch.
Why?
It's RB2.
That doesn't remotely answer my question, but thank you, Scott, for that question.
I'm trying to get the question, like, what would you tell a user to pick if they had to pick between Mixon and Lynch?
If a user has... I want to know who the players are. See,
Tell me the situation that you don't know the players that you would draft Mixon over Lynch. You just told me in a vacuum a segment ago that you'd rather have Mixon.
I would rather have Joe Mixon. Listen, they're a spot apart, so we're comparing, but... The thing with Mixon is, if I'm going with these wide receivers early, if I got three wide receivers on the team, in the fourth, I can take Marshawn Lynch because I want more secure touchdowns. I know Marshawn Lynch can bring me touchdowns. I can predict receptions. I cannot predict touchdowns. But I can predict that Marshawn Lynch, a goal line back, running behind one of the best offensive lines in football, he's going to score touchdowns. They could take Joe Mixon out on the goal line, but I know Joe Mixon going to catch 60 passes.
How do you know Joe Mixon is going to catch 60
Jeremy
passes?
Hill is a... If anything Jeremy Hill can do, he can score touchdowns, right?
Sure.
Joe Mixon's a rookie, right? We haven't seen him do it yet, right?
Right.
So there you go right there.
So how is he catching 60 passes?
Oh, because that's his role, that he can do that.
So
that's
Giovanni Bernard doesn't exist anymore.
Giovanni Bernard is coming off an ACL injury. He hasn't even got on the field yet.
Who's going to run for more yardage?
Probably Joe Mixon.
So you're literally just counting on the touchdowns for Marshawn Lynch.
I want the touchdowns.
That's all you're counting on.
I can't... Why
don't you draft Joe Mixon now and LeGarrette Blount 3 rounds later?
I can do that too. That was going to be the second thing I would have said. But Marshawn Lynch is going to have a better season than LeGarrette Blount.
Maybe.
They could end up having the same season.
Very well could.
Yeah.
Very well could. Let's come up next on the OGs.
Coming up on the OGs, we got some information that we need to get out there. Andrew Luck was at an event yesterday in Indianapolis. They put a microphone in his face. We'll let you know what he talked about. This Michael Floyd thing is kind of interesting. Can see what he can do this season. Compare him to Laquan Treadwell. Braxton Miller could be a name in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about him. So, got a nice program coming up. Devonta Freeman's money should be coming. Cameron Brake.
Nelson Sousa.
So there you go right there. Oh, and our guy Nelson Sousa.
Talk Vince Young as well.
Who?
Vince Young. There's a lot about him right now at MQB. For Scott Engel, for Matt Modiga, and for Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.